like she was trying to figure out how to phrase something. And normally I just tell her to spit it out. But I was pretty sure I didn't want to hear whatever it was she was about to say if it involved Andrew. So I changed the subject. So, where are we off to?
Downtown,
she said.
It's a metro shoot.
Cool. And she didn't bring up Andrew again for the rest of the day. Granted, she was busy transforming beautiful people into extraordinarily beautiful people, and I was busy doing what she asked me to do. But our topic of conversation revolved around other things, and that was fine with me. That was until we finally climbed into Cindy Crawford and headed home, and I checked my phone. She drove like a crazy blind woman, so sometimes it was best not to look up anyway.
"Checking for messages from anyone in particular?"
she asked. "I sent him a message earlier," I answered. "Just seeing if he replied." Which he hadn't.
"Lining up another dinner date?"
"It's not like that."
"Mm-hmm."
Again with the sarcastic "course not" sound. I asked him if Eli had contacted him. I admitted. We uploaded a photo onto his Facebook and his sister commented with a time and place we'd be meeting this Saturday. I just wondered whether Eli had taken the bait. That's all.
"It's okay, Spence,"
she said.
"You don't need to justify anything to me."
"I know. I'm not," I said. But I totally was, and we both knew it. I wanted to tell her I was struggling with this job. I wanted to tell her it was amazing and terrifying and horrible and wonderful. But I didn't. The cold reality was my job with Andrew would be over in 5 days. Come Sunday morning, we'd know whether Eli wanted him back. I mean, the guy would have to be crazy if he didn't. "Can you watch the road and not me? I don't feel like going today." Lola scowled at me as my phone buzzed. It was Andrew. And the way my heart tripped over its own stupid feet was ridiculous. "Sorry, been a busy day. Just finished work and saw your message now. I had a message from Eli as well. What should I do?" And that stupid heart-tripping feeling became a lot more like heart-sinking. God, I was so stupid. "What did he say?"
"Wanted to say hi. See how I was. Saw the photo, wanted to know if it was for real."
"What is it?"
Lola asked. She looked from the traffic to me, her eyes etched with worry. "Nothing," I lied. "It's Andrew. Said Eli's been in touch. He saw the photo."
"Is that good?"
she asked slowly, clearly unsure. I nodded. "Yep. It's what Andrew wants." Lola had gone from unsure to concerned.
"Spencer?"
"No, it's good. It's exactly why I suggested taking the photos and putting them on his Facebook," I answered, looking at my phone. Then I replied to Andrew's text, telling him to do the very thing I dreaded most. "Message him back. Tell him you're not sure where things stand with me. Tell him it depends on how much time and space he needs. That should get a response." With a deep breath, I turned my phone off. When I looked up, I realized we'd stopped across the road from the tattoo shop. Shit. I quickly undid my seatbelt and opened the door.
"Spencer,"
Lola started to say. I got out and leaned down to speak through the door. "See you tomorrow at 7. I'll bring coffee," I said before I shut the door and tapped the roof of Cindy Crawford. The car behind her honked his horn and Lola flipped him the bird before taking off at warp speed into the flow of cars. I laughed and took my chances crossing the street in peak hour traffic.
I climbed back into Cindy Crawford right on 7 Wednesday morning. I had a takeout tray with coffee for Lola and a tea for me. I waited until we were moving through traffic and I felt safe enough before I handed it to her.
"You didn't answer my texts last night,"
she said. "Sorry about that," I mumbled. "I had my phone off."
"Spencer, can we talk about it?"
I shook my head. "I'm fine. Please watch the road."
"Don't change the subject. You can't avoid shit like this forever."
"Yes, I can. I've done it for years. It works just fine."
"You're allowed to feel things, Spencer."
"I know that."
"Do you?"
"I thought we weren't talking about it," I said, looking out the window.
"One more question, then I'll leave it alone."
She was going to ask it whether I wanted to or not, so there was no point in arguing.
"Did Andrew reply?"
"I don't know. I turned my phone off."
"You haven't looked at all?"
Still looking out the window, I shook my head. She didn't say any more, but the sigh she let out may as well have been an,
"Oh, Spencer."
I helped her carry all her boxes and pull makeup bags on wheels down city streets until we reached the photo shoot. Lola and a few other makeup artists soon got busy doing their thing with the models, and I hung back out of the way. Normally, when I helped out at these things, I'd score a phone number and a one-night stand. But these pretty boys didn't interest me today, and by 10 a.m. my phone started to burn a hole in my pocket, while wondering whether Andrew replied had started to burn a hole in my brain. Same thing, really. So I walked down the street a ways and turned on my phone. I had a bunch of missed calls and text messages. I checked the text messages first. Without reading them, I could see two from Lola, no doubt saying,
"Answer your goddamn phone."
Two from Andrew and one from a number I didn't recognize. I opened the unknown number message first. It was from a prospective new client named Lance, who'd gotten my number from my old client Gerard, the super-rich asshole guy, wondering if I was available to meet with him. I sighed. The idea of meeting another guy to go through the whole getting-to-know-you phase again seemed like torture. I considered hitting delete, but didn't. It wasn't like I needed the money, but ordinarily I really liked my job. I figured I'd be back to normal next week, so I resigned to calling Lance later. That left Andrew's texts. The first was sent not long after I replied, telling him to reply to Eli. "Okay. Message sent," was all it said. Then an hour after that was another. "He called me. Wanted to know what I was doing on Saturday night. I told him I had plans, which he admitted to seeing on Facebook. Then he suggested Friday night. I told him I'd let him know. What do I do now?" Oh, fuck. I took a deep breath in and let it out slowly. Then another. I didn't know if he called him back, if he'd agreed to meet with him. God, he could have ended up calling him back, and for all I knew, they'd reconciled and spent the night in bed. I felt sick. I stared at my phone screen. Then I stared at it some more. And with a sense of dread, I listened to the voice messages. There were two from Lola saying exactly what I thought. The second wasn't as pleasant as the first, and I knew I'd have to apologize to her. The remaining three were from Andrew. The first was rather cheerful. "Hey, it's me. Andrew. Andrew Landon." I smiled at that. "Eli called me. Can you give me a call back? Thanks. Then the second voice message was 40 minutes after the first, and he sounded a little anxious. It's, Andrew again? Not sure if you got my last message. I told Eli I'd let him know about Friday, but I wanted to talk to you first. I'm not sure what you want me to do. The third voice message was 2 hours after that. His voice was quiet. It's Andrew. Call me? The sound of his self-doubt expanded like a lead balloon in my chest. I hated that I caused him to doubt himself. Of all the people who should be confident. God, he was successful, talented, and sexy as hell. But he was also honest and funny. And for some reason, he didn't see himself the way he should. I guess Eli leaving him would have hit his confidence hard, but it was like he'd been downtrodden or constantly told he wasn't quite good enough. And to think I'd added fuel to his fire of insecurity just about killed me. I hit his number and put the phone to my ear. Given it was mid-morning and he'd be at work, I was expecting it to go to voicemail, but still disappointed when it did. Hey, it's me, Spencer. I'm really sorry I missed your calls and texts. I wasn't feeling well. I lied. And had my phone off. I should have responded regardless, and I'm sorry I didn't. He just had no idea how sorry I was. Just wondering if you called Eli back. Whether you're going out with him on Friday. I cleared my throat. Call me when you can. And again, Andrew, I'm sorry I let you down. I clicked off the call and exhaled through puffed out cheeks. God, this was so fucked up. This feeling, this horrible feeling was a heavy aching reminder of why I put up walls and kept my distance. It was also a stark reminder that this was a professional transaction. He was paying me to get results and I'd failed him. I should have taken his calls and I should have told him without any hesitation to go out with Eli on Friday night. Hell, maybe they did get back together last night. Maybe we wouldn't get a result on Saturday night because maybe we already had one. And maybe Andrew wasn't my client anymore. Maybe I needed to man the fuck up and get over it. Wouldn't be the first time. So, with that mindset, I opened the text from Lance, the prospective new client, and hit reply. Sure. Does this Monday suit? I headed back up to the photo shoot where Lola was working her magic on some overtired, underfed girl. As I walked in, one of the male models gave me a nod. Hey, he said gruffly. He looked me up and down and gave me a smirk, which I'm sure on any other day would have worked for a phone number or a blowjob. But not today. Hey, I said just to be polite, and kept walking. Lola didn't miss it, of course, and raised an eyebrow at me and a sad shake of her head. Ignoring whatever it was she was implying, I asked, "Need anything?"
"No,"
she added brightly, adding some black to the model's eyes with perfection.
"Called Andrew yet?"
I thought about not answering, but remembered her concerned messages on my phone. I left a message.
"Good,"
she said with a fond smile, like it was some huge personal milestone. I don't know, maybe it was. I spent the rest of the day between doing whatever Lola told me to do and checking my phone. No reply from Andrew. I couldn't say I blamed him. After all, I'd ignored him. and by the time I'd loaded the last of Lola's equipment into Cindy Crawford, I had pretty much convinced myself that Andrew couldn't reply because he'd spent the day in bed with Eli. No replies, and a vivid imagination would do that.
"He'll call you,"
Lola said. She must have read my mind, because I hadn't mentioned him for hours.
"Don't look at me like that. It's written all over your face."
"It's stupid," I finally admitted. "I've known him for, what, not even 2 weeks?"
"But you like him."
It wasn't a question. "He's a client," I said quietly, "who wants me to help him get back with his ex."
"Well, fate is a funny bitch,"
Lola said.
"She has a way of making things right. Look at me and Gabe."
I nodded. They were perfect for each other. Life tried to split them up, but as it turned out, fate stepped in and righted that wrong. Well, fate and me. But mostly fate. "You're my best success story."
"And we owe it all to you."
Silence stretched out for a while, which didn't happen often between us. It wasn't uncomfortable, it was just there. I was happy to wallow in self-misery anyway.
"You'll have your own success story,"
Lola said eventually.
"Spencer, you deserve to be happy. There is someone out there just for you. You'll see."
I huffed out a laugh. "Yeah, right."
"And if Andrew decides he wants Eli instead, then it wasn't meant to be. And it'd be his loss. But you watch,"
she said as she swerved lanes.
"He'll call you."
And like she had ESP or something, my phone rang. Andrew's name flashed on the screen. My heart pounded and I smiled when I saw it was him. But then it occurred to me. What if he's calling to tell me that he and Eli are back together? Lola stared at me.
"Answer the phone."
"Watch the road," she yelled.
"Answer your damn phone."
I pressed the answer button, more out of panic than anything else. "Hey," I said, trying to sound as casual as I could. "Are you okay?" he asked. No hello, no small talk. "You sounded terrible in your message. You said you didn't feel well? I've been in meetings all day and I just got your message now." "No, I'm okay. I feel a bit better now," I said. I risked a look at Lola and cringed when she was glaring at me for lying to him. "Sorry I missed your calls last night. How did it go with Eli?" I almost didn't want to know. I almost told him to forget I asked, but he spoke first. I haven't answered him yet." "Oh. Oh, thank fucking God." "Oh," I said. I almost laughed with relief. Lola grinned and nodded at me. It was ridiculous. "Well, I wasn't sure what you would want me to do," he said. "You're the expert in this, and I didn't want to do the wrong thing." "No, you did the right thing," I told him, which wasn't exactly the truth. "Making him wait for a day won't hurt him. In fact, it might make him realize a little sooner, yeah?" Maybe. He sounded unsure. I exhaled loudly. The knot of unease in my chest had let up a little. I felt better than I had all day. In fact, my stupid brain had to actually tell my stupid mouth to stop smiling. And Lola giggled. "Shut up," I said, making a laugh. Andrew's voice was quiet. "Sorry?" "Oh, no, not you," I said quickly into the phone. "Lola's being a pain in my ass. Oh, he replied. Should I call you later? Actually, can I call you back in 10 minutes? I asked. I need my hands free for when Lola pulls up to the front of my place because she only slows down to 30 miles per hour and I have to command I roll out of the car. She whacked my arm and Andrew laughed in my ear. Okay. Good luck, he said. And remember, keep your chin in and both arms up to protect your face. Avoid the curb. I laughed at his command I roll tips and he disconnected the call. Lola was grinning widely at me. I ignored her. I'd really prefer you watch the road when you drive, I said, trying to act all cool about everything. And I know what you're about to say about Andrew, and I'd also really prefer you didn't. She did a little dance butt wiggle in her seat.
I'm not saying anything you apparently don't already know.
I'm pleading the fifth.
You're Australian. You don't have the fifth.
I let out a laugh. My mood had done a complete 180 from this morning. And as much as I wanted to admit to Lola what I presumed she already knew, that Andrew was different to any other client I'd had, I wasn't ready to. It would make it real. And the truth was, at that very moment, Andrew was still my client. The objective was still open. Thankfully, and somewhat death-defyingly, Lola weaved through two lanes and pulled up across from the tattoo shop like a race car driver. I jumped out and waved her off, and she was still smiling as she pulled Cindy Crawford back into traffic. And with no clue what to tell Andrew about what to do with Eli, I pulled out my phone, found Andrew's number and hit call. He answered on the first ring. Hey, sorry about that. Evil Knievel just dropped me off before hurling Cindy Crawford at some poor law-abiding road users. Andrew snorted. What? I waited for a break in traffic before crossing the street. Lola, she drives like a maniac. And what happened to Cindy Crawford? Oh, that's a car. It's a cute little 80s model. Andrew cracked up, and the warm sound of his laughter sent a flush of warmth through my chest. Andrew, I'm really sorry I missed your calls last night. That's okay, he said. He sounded genuine. You're better now, though. Yeah, much. Well, maybe I could come around? He asked. I just left work, so I'm already in the car. We could work out what to do about this Friday. Sounds great. Okay, I'll park out back. Just come straight up to my door. See you in about 20 minutes. And he disconnected the call. I pushed the door open to Emilio's shop and he looked up from tattooing his customer. Then he looked up at me again. Jesus! The cat that got the canary! I laughed him off. Hey man, how's your day been? Not as good as yours by the look of that smile. I rolled my eyes. Need anything? No, I'm all good, my friend. Emilio said. Oh, new magazines came in today. They're on the counter, he said, nodding toward the service desk. Cool. Emilio always subscribed to a few copies because customers tended to either dog-ear a page or just rip them out. I picked up the top copy. I'll bring it back down later. You here late tonight? Emilio laid his head down and he was busy inking his customer. Yeah, man. Daniela's having the night off. Last client is a 7. It's just me. Want me to bring you some dinner or something? Sweet. Thanks. I took the tattoo magazine and let myself out the back door and pulled it shut behind me. Upstairs,
knowing Andrew wouldn't be far away. I freshened up. I washed my face, sprayed on some deodorant, and stopped myself from brushing my teeth. I mean, it was ridiculous. So I planted myself on the sofa and flicked through the magazine until there was a knock at the door. When I opened the door, Andrew was standing there like a remedy for heart palpitations. Or maybe he made them worse. It was hard to tell. "Hey." His smile was warm and wide. "Hey, you look good," he said, then froze. "I mean, you look not sick anymore." I laughed, all relieved and nervous, and stepped aside, a silent invitation to come inside. "I'm much better." And that wasn't a lie. I was feeling much better. "Can I get you a drink or something?" "Sure." He walked straight in, over to the sofa, and sat down. He picked up the tattoo magazine and started thumbing through it. "Looking for new ideas?" I handed him a bottled water and sat beside him. "Not really. I stole it from Emilio," I explained. "I just like to see what's new." "They're pretty good," he said, tilting his head. "I'm surprised, actually, by how much I like them."
"Would you ever get one?"
His eyes widened and he barked out a laugh. No. Then he frowned. "Well, I've never thought about it."
"Not ever?"
He shook his head.
"Nope."
He took a mouthful of water and kept turning pages. He didn't look at me when he asked,
"When did you get your first tattoo?"
16. My aunt Marvi took me to get it. My left hand automatically went to the top of my right arm. The tribal cross was my first. It's been incorporated into the entire sleeve now, but yeah, that was my first tattoo. His eyes shot to mine then.
"Wow."
I shrugged, and he knew the ink on my arms, no matter how visible, was a private thing.
"They're addictive."
"Would you get another one?" he asked. "Your sleeves are done, so where else would you get one?"
"Maybe a chest piece," I said, leaning back on the sofa. "I don't know."
"Color or black and white?" he said, looking back to the magazine. "You have a mix of both on your arms."
"Depends on the piece," I said.
"And what it means."
"Fair enough."
"How was work?" He looked at me and smiled.
"Good.
How was your day with Lola?"
"Yeah, good.
Busy.
She's bossy."
Smiling, he kept looking at the pictures in the magazine. It was easy to forget he appreciated the tattoos from an artist's perspective, not a client's.
"Oh," I said, "I need to get Emilio something to eat later on. Don't let me forget."
Andrew stayed until dinner. We got takeout and ate it downstairs in the shop with Emilio after he closed for the day. Emilio and Andrew talked about lines and definition, shading and interpretation. And not once did we talk about Eli.
Chapter 8. Thursday afternoon, I found myself on the street across the road from Eli's place of employment. A printing business I really had no need for going to, just a burning curiosity and a healthy dash of jealousy. Well, maybe jealousy was the wrong word, but I wanted to know what attracted Andrew to Eli. They met in a grocery store, which was the stuff of chick flicks. A little too cliché. I wasn't sure. But Eli moved in with him. They had a history. An intimate history. Eli had touched Andrew in ways I wanted to, but couldn't. Andrew had taken him to bed.
kissed him, fucked him, and I wanted to see why. Before I could talk myself out of it, I crossed the street and walked through the front door. A bell chimed to announce my entrance, and not a moment later a woman came to the counter. I recognized Terry from the Facebook photo and then at the bar where she'd had birthday drinks and invited Eli to go with her. Her name tag confirmed it.
"Can I help you?"
she asked brightly. The foyer was kind of old but clean. There were product deals plastered on the walls. "Yeah, I'm just looking at the moment, but I have a business convention coming up I could need some marketing products for." She went into a spiel of mail-outs, flyers, online ads, and I went along with it, nodding thoughtfully. She explained minimum numbers, maximums, payment options, and a whole lot of other crap I wasn't interested in.
"So, what's your target market?"
she asked.
"What kind of convention?"
I said the first thing that came to mind. "Tattoos," I answered. Like that explained everything. "Could I have example art printed on canvas? Or framed, even? I want an executive look. High class. I want it to look like pieces from a photography studio." Her eyes lit up.
"Oh, yes. Hang on, I'll just grab Eli. He's the man you want for that."
She disappeared and a sick, nervous feeling twisted in my belly. He wasn't the man I wanted at all. But whether this was a good idea or a really fucking stupid idea, it was too late. Because Eli walked out from the staff-only door. Terry led the way.
"This is Eli,"
she said.
"He does all the prints you're talking about."
And then she left us alone. Just me and him. Eli was about my height. Kind of handsome with his dark hair and dark eyes. He looked like a normal guy, just like the photos I'd seen. I hated him. Irrational, I know, but whatever. His eyes flickered with something when he saw me. And if he recognized me as the guy with Andrew from the bar the other night, he didn't say. "Hey," he said, offering me his hand. I shook it a little harder than normal. But whatever. If he was waiting for me to give him my name, I didn't. "So you're after framed prints?" "I think so. I'm just getting prices at this stage." As much as I totally didn't care about wasting 10 minutes of his time, I didn't want to waste the company's money thinking this was going anywhere. "How much time do you need, say, for 10 prints, 60 inches squared?" He prattled on about prices and products, clearly trying to sell me a deal. Some would think he was good at his job. I, on the other hand, thought he was smarmy. I didn't care how good he was with the products he sold. He'd been with Andrew, and that made him a dick to me. By some grace of God, my phone rang. It was Lola. I made a somewhat apologetic face to Eli. "Sorry, I need to take this." I didn't wait for a reply from him. I just hit answer. "Hello?"
"I'm at the shop. Where are you?"
I pretended to be disgruntled. I pressed my fingers into my eyes. "You're there now."
"I just said that,"
she said.
"Does spanking the monkey make you deaf?"
I choked on a laugh. "Right. Well, that's what he said." It took her a second. It wasn't the first time I'd needed her to bail me out of the situation. She was pretty quick with these things now.
"Oh, you're somewhere you shouldn't be talking to someone you shouldn't be, aren't you?"
"That's correct."
"Does this have anything to do with Andrew?"
"Yes."
"You went and checked out his ex, didn't you?"
"Of course."
"Is he right in front of you?"
I sighed loudly. "Yes. Okay, I'll come straight back." Lola chuckled in my ear.
"You haven't done anything straight in your life, Spencer."
I pursed my lips together so I wouldn't smile, ended the call and slid my phone in my pocket. Eli had gone back to the counter to give me what privacy the small foyer allowed, but he looked at me expectantly. "I'm sorry," I told him. "I have an issue back at work I need to sort out. Do you have a card I can take?" He handed me his business card, and I told him I'd be in touch. When Andrew called me that night, I knew I had to tell him. "I saw Eli today." There was only silence. Then, "You what?" "I went into his work and made inquiries about tattoo posters I don't need." It sounded like he changed the ear he had his phone to. Then it sounded like he fidgeted. "Did you tell him who you were?" "No, of course not." "But he's seen you with me." "I know." I tried to play it cool. "I'm not sure if he recognized me. He never let on." "Jeez, Spencer, you could have blown the whole thing." He was obviously pissed at me, and probably rightfully so. "What did you do that for?" I was kind of hoping he did recognize me. "I think he did. I'm not sure," I admitted. "But what I did was just pretty much guarantee a reaction from him." Truth be told, I was making things worse. I knew that. Eli was either going to push harder to get Andrew back or he was not going to care at all. That selfish part of me was hoping for the latter. And it had been a long time since I'd hoped for anything. I was tempted to give him excuses and apologies, but I didn't. I needed him to speak first. It took 8 long and heart-racing seconds. "And?" he asked.
"And what?"
"What did you think of him?"
I shrugged, even though he couldn't see. "He seemed nice."
"God, you really suck at lying," he huffed into the phone. "And considering you do it for a living, I would expect better."
"Ouch,"
he laughed. "Well, it's true. I can lie convincingly to other people," I admitted. "Just not you, for some stupid reason." I don't know how I knew, but I was pretty sure he was smiling. "Well, for that, you can buy dinner tomorrow night."
"Is that right?"
"Yes. Pizza and a movie. 7 o'clock. "You're so bossy," I said. I'm surprised I could actually talk with how much I was grinning. "And anyway, how do you live on takeout and have the body you do?" He laughed quietly. "I told you, I work out for an hour every morning before I go to work." "Do you wear tight gym shorts and muscle tops? Because I would totally get out of bed to see that." He chuckled into the phone. "See you tomorrow at 7. "So you told Eli no to the date tomorrow night?" "I told him I couldn't," he answered. He cleared his throat. "You know, treat 'em mean to keep 'em keen." I couldn't stop the stupid smile on my face. "Oh, I'm sorry. I just was picturing you wearing tight gym shorts and a muscle top. What were you saying?" He snorted. "Good night, Spencer." He disconnected the call, but I was still smiling at the mental images of Andrew in his gym clothes. Friday dragged. Like, really dragged. I helped Emilio and Daniela in the shop for a while, made arrangements for when and where to see my next client on Monday afternoon. I cleaned my apartment, I read, I ate, I did all those things, and then I spent a good few hours getting ready and picking out clothes while the clock ticked down like its battery was dying. Because I was losing my mind. But, like a good boy at 7 o'clock, holding a pizza as requested, I knocked on Andrew's front door. I heard what sounded like him coming down the stairs, the rattle of lock on the door, and then he swung the door inward and smiled. And like some cosmic shift, time was good again. "Oh, good," he said. "I'm starving." "Hi, not bad, yourself?" I joked at his complete lack of greeting. Cab here was okay, but I don't think the cabbie appreciated the smell of pizza in his car. Andrew laughed. "Sorry. Hi. How are you?" "That's good. How was your cab right here?" I handed him the pizza box. "You're welcome." He walked through the living room, slid the pizza onto the table and went straight into the kitchen. "Beer or soda?" "Beer's good." "Yes, it is," he replied. Came back out and handed me one. He was wearing jeans and an old button-down shirt that looked well-worn and soft. Jesus. His feet were bare. I couldn't remember ever telling him that I found jeans and bare feet hot, but damn. "They don't smell bad," he said, wriggling his toes. "Promise." God help me. I totally got caught staring at his feet. When I glanced up at him, he took one look at my face and a slow smile spread across his lips. "Oh. Shut up." He chuckled and clinked his beer bottle to mine. "So, pizza? Or do you want to stare at my feet a little longer?" Ignoring him before I died of embarrassment, I rolled my eyes and sat at the table. I opened the box and took a slice. "So, anyone at work giving you a hard time about the photo we posted on Facebook?" He almost bit into his first slice but stopped before it got to his mouth. He groaned. "It's been painful," he said. "All week." He took a mouthful and hummed appreciatively. This is good." He devoured 4 slices to my 2. "Didn't you eat today?" I asked. He shook his head and washed his food down with a mouthful of beer. "Nope, I've been avoiding the lunchroom because, well, because the latest game around the department seems to be, let's ask Andrew 101 questions about his new boyfriend."
"New boyfriend, huh?" I smiled. I liked that way more than I should have.
"What's he like?" "Bet he's handsome."
A rush of heat colored his cheeks and crept down his neck.
"Shut up. You know what I mean."
I picked at the label on my beer bottle.
"I've been called worse things."
His smile faltered. "By jealous ex-boyfriends?"
"Actually, more by the client," I admitted. "The guy who I'm trying to help. Clearly, I'm not their type, and they find my boredom at city gala openings and nights at the opera a little uncouth."
"Really? You had to go to gala openings and the opera?"
He frowned.
"And they belittled you for it?"
"You'd be surprised," I said softly. "They're paying me to do a job, I guess. They treat me the same way they treat the people who dry clean their clothes or wash their car."
Andrew nodded slowly, and there was a brief look of hurt on his face before he replaced it with a tight smile. He cleared his throat.
"You must think it's terribly boring to have a Friday night of pizza and a movie, then."
It wasn't a question, more like a confirmation to himself.
"I'm not much into going out."
"Are you kidding me? This is perfect.
Pizza and a movie is my kind of night. Sure, getting all frocked up in a suit is cool every now and then, but that shit gets old. He smiled somewhat more genuinely, but it was still a little forced. Frocked up. You know, dressed up. I shrugged. I swear everyone I know should take a lesson in Australianisms so I don't have to keep explaining these things. Or I could just book myself in for an elective lobotomy. I gaped at him. Literally, my mouth fell open. He roared laughing and put his foot up on the table. Here, look at my bare foot. Fuck you! That only made him laugh some more. You suck! He waggled his eyebrows at me. Yes, yes, I do. I groaned, in part because his pun was lame, and in part because now I was thinking about him sucking dick. Shut up and put the movie on. Still chuckling to himself, he took the pizza box into the kitchen. Then he joined me in the living room. He handed me a full beer and was still smiling as he put the DVD in. What are we watching? I asked. He tossed the cover to me. It was How to Train Your Dragon 2. Seriously, we're watching a cartoon. He stood up, looking honestly offended, his smile well and truly gone. We don't have to. I just thought, did you have that lobotomy already? I asked with a smirk. Now he glared. You're an ass. Thank you. He collected his beer from the coffee table and planted himself on the sofa. Not right next to me, but not at the other end either. He stretched out his legs and put his feet on the coffee table as the movie began. So I did the same. He cleared his throat. Are you all right there? Making yourself at home? He was staring at my shoes. Yeah, thanks, I said with a grin, not taking my eyes off the television. I was pretty sure if I looked at him, I'd grab him by the face and kiss him until he came. Fuck. Now I was thinking about that. I swallowed hard. Jesus, the air in the room was suddenly heady, and I could feel how close he was without looking. So, I coughed and nodded toward the screen. Which shots of this have you drawn? So, as the movie played, Andrew told me about different scenes he'd done, which parts he liked, which were difficult, which were his favorite. But then something happened. In the movie. And it came from nowhere, and I wasn't expecting it. I had no clue and no time to prepare myself. It was a kid's movie, for fuck's sake. The father died. In the movie, the father died. And a wave of memories and emotions hit me like being crash-tackled from the blind side. I certainly didn't see it coming. I took some deep, quiet breaths. Not wanting to draw attention to myself. I stared at the wall and realized I was staring at the drawings from this very movie, and that didn't help at all. So then I stared at the top of the TV screen. There was writing about screen definition, and I stared so hard at it, trying to deliberately not watch the movie, that I must have stared too hard because my eyes started to water. I let out the slowest breath I could imagine. But Andrew was too close, and he heard how shaky it was. He turned to me and started to laugh, and was no doubt about to say something about crying in a kid's movie. But then he saw my face. He sat up and fumbled with the remote before clicking the whole TV off. I shot up off the sofa and went into the kitchen to catch my breath. Oh, fuck! The burn in my chest was as vivid now as it was years ago. Andrew was right behind me. He put his hand on my arm. Spencer, I'm sorry. I should have known.
I gathered something had happened. I didn't even think about the dad. I shook my head and put the heel of my hand against my sternum to counter the pain there. It's okay. You weren't to know. I took another breath. That just came from nowhere. I'm sorry. He had a hand on either arm. His face was etched with worry. Don't apologize. It's me who should be apologizing. Your dad? I let my head fall back, and I let a shaky breath out at the ceiling. My father. Andrew moved his hands from my arms, but before he could take a step back, I snatched his t-shirt. I fisted the material, keeping him right where he was. I needed him to stay close. I wanted to tell him what happened. I wanted to tell him why the four blackbirds were tattooed on my arm, but I couldn't. I never spoke about them. I wore those inked reminders like armor, but I couldn't form the words. "Do you want to talk about it?" he asked gently. I shook my head. "Okay," he said. "That's okay." He put his hand to my face and I leaned into it. I fucking leaned. And like he knew what I needed, what my heart and soul craved, he pulled me against him. I never felt anything so good in my life. He was warm and strong. He was safe and right. I buried my face into his neck, and I might have held on a little too tight. But he smelled so perfect, and his arms were around me like they were meant to do just that. I didn't want to let go. I wanted to kiss his neck. I wanted to lift my face and kiss his lips. I wanted to know what he tasted like. I wanted him to hold me and take me to bed. Have his way with me. And when I pulled back, he stayed right there. He looked into my eyes and licked his lips. He was going to kiss me. Then my stupid hand was against his chest, keeping him at a safe, non-kissing distance. Fuck! My head was swimming, my heart was hammering and aching, my stomach was in knots, and I was a fucking mess. Then my stupid mouth said, "I should go." He blinked and shook his head as if startled from some kind of stupor. "Yeah." I stepped away, but he stopped me with a hand on my arm. "Spencer." I looked at him, fighting every fiber in my body that wanted to fall back into his arms, to kiss him. He looked torn apart. "Are you sure you're okay?" I nodded. "Yeah, of course I'm okay. I've been okay for years. I'll see you tomorrow. I'll come around 4. I didn't wait for him to answer. I turned and walked out as fast as my stupid feet would take me. Of course, sleep didn't come easy. Hell, it barely came at all. I finally managed about 2 hours shut-eye after the sun made its way over the horizon. The sound of screeching tires on the street below woke me up, and so I didn't lie around all day thinking about stuff I didn't want to be thinking about. I put on some running clothes and hit the pavement. I ran all the way down to Venice Beach. It was a warm Saturday morning, so it was packed. There were people walking dogs, rollerblading, cycling, jogging. Some looked $1 million. Some looked like they